Thank you so much for joining us for Spirit, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for Spirit. The OU created Spirit several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, Spirit continues to be the safe and ideal way for all of us to learn and connect together in a virtual setting. Today's program is called, How Can We Make Our Tefillah More Meaningful and Relevant? It will be presented by Mrs. Tamar Nussbaum, curriculum developer, founder, and director of Ani Tefillah. Ani Tefillah was part of the OU's Impact Accelerator program. It is my pleasure to turn the Spirit Forum over to Mrs. Nussbaum. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you, Rebbetzin and Judy. It's a pleasure to be here and to meet all of you. Anyone who would like or has the courage to let me see who you are, I understand if you can for a variety of reasons, but anybody who can just show me who you are through your video, please turn yourselves on, and it would be very more enjoyable for me in certain ways. And if not, I'm still speaking directly to you. So today we're going to be talking about tefillah. And from the get-go, I'd like to just share with you a few things about tefillah. Tefillah is personal. It is something that is different for each and every one of us here today. Some will find that tefillah is something that they can do because they can concentrate and focus by swaying back and forth. Some will say, no, I want to stand still. Some will say, I want to sing my prayers. And some will say, music and singing, I find that disturbing. It takes away my focus. Some will say, I like to point at every single word. That helps me focus. And some will say, no, I close my eyes. And that helps me focus. So as we're going to hear about tefillah today, I'd like you to keep in mind that you have to find your way. What is it that resonates with you? Some of the things I mentioned may work well, and some you'll say it's for another time. Tefillah, like I said, is personal. And also, it's flexible in that every day, your connection and your ability to use and hone in on the skills that we're going to talk about changes. It's a work in progress. Tefillah also is about connection. And it's about building a relationship. It takes time to cultivate relationships. And I'm sure that you've seen this through your own life experience, that it doesn't just happen like that. So again, when we're going to be talking about tefillah, and I'm going to be trying to give concrete ways that each of us in our own personal way can develop a stronger connection and relevant one to Hashem, to God, I'd like everyone also to realize that it takes time and it changes from day to day, and to be easy on yourself. It is an avodah, and we do need to check in on ourselves to evaluate and see how we're doing, but it is something that takes progression and takes time. So with these things in mind, that tefillah is personal, it takes time to cultivate relationships, and one more thing, it's a disclaimer. I am working on tefillah myself. Since starting to speak and develop this curriculum, thank God I have been able to learn ways to strengthen my connection to Hashem. So please keep in mind, I'm not here trying to say this is the way to do it. I don't have all the answers. This is a collaboration of all of us together saying we want to connect, we want to grow spiritually. And each of us are doing that in our own way. It's a work in progress. Okay, so with that in mind, I'd like to do an activity, which while you're all muted, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Usually what I do is I say everyone should take a partner. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to be partners with you. And I'm going to share with you now that at this moment, I am going to think of something very nice about you. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use the power of speech to tell you what I was thinking. So I would like to tell you like this. I have never spoken for such an exceptional group of men and ladies as I am speaking today. I am in awe of each and every one of you, because you're at the stage in life where, and you could be doing this too, you could be playing golf, you could be taking walks, you could be watching different entertaining videos and movies, but you chose to come here. And that tells me something about you, how you value your time, how you value your moments here on earth. And it impresses me and shows to me the spiritual growth that each of you want and are aiming for. Now, when I was thinking something nice and good about you, okay, but when I said it, when I expressed my feelings to you, I felt more of a connection to each of you here. Did you feel more of a connection to me when I said what I was thinking? Just raise your hand or nod. Okay. Especially those who I'm seeing, and thank you for putting on your videos. Hello. Those of you who understood and heard me say words, when I spoke and explained, expressed how impressed I am with you, you felt connected to me. I felt connected to you. I had to realize and say to you, who are you and what do you mean to me? And I suddenly felt more connected than if I would have just thought it. If you write emails, if we text, that emotion, that connection is not there. Speech has power to create a reality of a relationship and of a connection, like we just did now. Hashem, God, put power when he created the world. He said, speech will be the tool I will use to create. Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. With 10 utterances, God created the world. Hashem didn't take a wand and point. Hashem didn't say, okay, I'm going to write it in a letter and poof, the world will be here. Hashem spoke it. Let there be light. Yihi are. In speech, there is power to create a reality from something abstract. In speech, there's a power to create a relationship that wasn't there beforehand. We can't see the speech. We can hear it. We can express it. We can move our lips. We create like God created the world through speech. Even our Torah, when God gave us the Torah on Har Sinai, Hashem gave us the commandments, and in Hebrew it's called the Aseret HaDibrot. The root word of Dibrot, the root of the word Dibrot is Dalet Bet Resh. Again, speech, that power of speech. Because when you speak something, it brings a reality to you that something that wasn't necessarily there or felt or experienced beforehand becomes very real. It concretizes abstract feelings and thoughts. Even magicians know that speech has power and they use it and utilize it when they perform. It talks in the Gemara about magicians. What do they say when they're performing a miracle? They say, a miracle, not a miracle. They think it's a miracle, but when they're using their tricks to make us think that they could do everything and anything and they could create, before they perform their actual trick, they'll say abracadabra. In Aramaic, it means avra. I will create kidabra as I speak. There is a power in speech. That is the tool that tefillah uses. Tefillah is about taking the thoughts and feelings that are in our heart and saying them, articulating them, expressing them through speech. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that we are not, tefillah is not considered tefillah if you only think the words. The halacha is we must say it, because God knew and knows that when you say something, it becomes real. So when we will be saying and expressing the words of tefillot, that connection, that relationship is going to happen. So now, how do we forge that relationship so that our speech is meaningful and is relevant to everyone, to ourselves? Now, tefillah, like I said, is personal. It's also private. Can everyone here think of time when you spoke or expressed to someone that you were very close with and told them how much you cared about them, how much you loved them? Think of a time in your life when you sat down, you pulled up, you expressed your deepest feelings to someone who you cherished and cared about. I have to share with you through my speech that I still remember my grandfather when he wasn't well and he was in the hospital. And I said, I don't know what came over me, but I went into the room and I was by myself. And my grandfather was lying in the bed and I'm picturing it in my mind. And I said, Saba, Grandpa, you mean so much to me. And I started expressing to him and pinpointing things in his life that I admired and that I could learn from and I gained from. And I praised him. That moment in my life happened 24 years ago. And still today, I get choked up and emotional because it was a moment of that I was able to connect with him in a way through my speech that was cherished and is forever. When we pray, when we're davening, we're also doing that. When we're able to privately, intimately express to God our love for him, our appreciation, acknowledgement of all the brachot and blessings that he gives us, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibar, Hanora, God, you're mighty. God, you're great. God, you give us, you do such chesed and kindnesses forever to us. It again is a moment when we pray that there's intimacy, there's closeness, there's expression. And this is all happening through tefillah in a personal, private, intimate way. We're bringing about a reality through our speech. But what tools can we use to help us so that to make sure that when we speak out and we say our tefillot, and we're talking about formally and informally, not only when we are sitting reading from a siddur, but we're talking about just speaking and connecting to God. What can we do so that it is meaningful and relevant? And this is where I will share with you the stop, think, feel approach. This is a method that has been inspired through the Rambam, who says how to have kavana in tefillah, how to have focus and concentration. And it is the method that's used in the Ani Tefillah program, which is in its fourth year now. It's quite young, but Baruch Hashem, we have 60 schools using this method to teach tefillah. So the stop, think, feel method, really, there are three trigger words to help us say, one second, I want to have kavana, what should I do? Let's stop. Let's think and let's feel. Stop means to remove distractions and to focus. We need to understand that to remove distractions, we're talking about the physical distractions and mental distractions. Physical distractions, relatively speaking, is easy to remove. Close the phone, turn down the music, close a shade, go into a room where it's quiet. You need to find what it is that you feel could be distracting. Don't look at the people walking in the street. Whatever it may be, find a way to say these physical distractions, zero in on it and say, I'm removing them from this moment now for about 10, 15, 20, whatever amount of time, 30 seconds that you need. When you remove distractions, though, we're not only talking about physical, we're talking about mental distractions. We have to control our minds so that it doesn't wander. That's what tefillah needs in order for it to be meaningful and relevant. That is a life skill, removing distractions, physical and mental, and focusing. But it takes time to develop. But if we understand what to do, it will help us have more kavana in tefillah. Being in control of our minds and our thoughts will affect the way we pray without exception every single time. That means, now, many of you may be saying to yourself, can I really control my thoughts? Come on, if I feel something's funny, if I have to laugh. So I'm going to ask you now all to think of something that makes you nervous or makes you worried. It could be just turning on the radio and hearing what's going on in the world. It could be going to a dentist. Think of something now that makes you feel a little uncomfortable or worried. And now I'm going to ask you to remove that thought from your mind and replace it with something that makes you feel good. I hope it's this presentation. It could be, I want to focus in on a child, a grandchild, a friend, a time I went to a restaurant, my birthday. But replace that worried thought with something that makes you feel good. Could you do that? When we are removing thoughts, distractions from our minds, it takes effort. Tefillah is a mindful exercise. And we have to say to ourselves, I am replacing that thought with something else. You could tell the thoughts that's distracting you, I'll think about you later. You could say to yourself, let me just think that thought through. How am I going to get to the airport on time, or whatever it may be that's really pressing on your mind? And just think it and say, fine, I thought, now let me focus back in. But the idea is to remove physical and mental, the mental distractions, replace it with a different thought and focus. When you're driving, you don't turn around and look at the billboards, hopefully. You're hopefully not texting. You need to focus. If you exercise, you need to focus on balance. If you are diving, you need to focus on how you're going to get into that water and make sure your posture and your position is correct. You think of a time when you really had to focus. You had a phone call, which was from a shadchan, was somebody who had an idea for to making a match between someone who was very important to you. There is nothing else on your mind if you're going to go to an interview. And you know that your future depends on how that interview is going to go, if you're going to get that position or not. Think of a time or times when you understood and you used that skill of using your mind to focus and apply it to tefillah. That's the type of focus we need for tefillah. So stop. When we say that word, we say remove distractions, physical, mental, and focus. But what are we thinking about? What are we focusing about? That's step number two, think. We're thinking about one of two things. One is going to be either Dalif Nehmi Ataomed, know before whom you are standing, or you should be thinking of and the translation of the words that you're saying. Let's just go over the words Dalif Nehmi Ataomed. What does that mean? I should know before whom I'm standing, but how can I internalize it? So to give a little bit more of an in-depth understanding of these words, let's explain. Da in Lashon HaKodesh, and we know that every word is specific, and there's no word in the English language that could really capture the true essence of a word in Lashon HaKodesh. It's a holy language that was written by God and has in it messages and meaning and depth that it's impossible to really always capture with one word. But da, dea, knowledge, knowing that you're standing before God, has an understanding in Lashon HaKodesh of clarity, intimacy, closeness. When I know that I'm looking at my hand and this is my hand, there is a clarity that can't be denied. I know my name is Tamar, my second name is Yehudis, and my third last name is Nussbaum. I know it with clarity. And even in Lashon HaKodesh, if we see the word dea is used, when a husband and wife, when they become physically close, the word dea is used, vayeda. It means there's a closeness, there's an intimacy that happens as a result of knowledge. We are standing before God. We know it with a clarity. He's here right in front of us, building and developing that knowledge of feeling God's presence so that it's as real to you as your hand is what we want to do, so that we understand to whom we are standing and talking to when we're davening. Da lifnei. Now, I don't know how many of you go to different shiurim and go to different speeches, but I know for myself, if I have to sit in the front row, no way. I don't want to sit in the front row. I'd rather take the back row for whatever reasons it is. I'm in the front. I feel vulnerable. I feel like if I want to leave, if I want to doodle, I don't want to be seen so close up. On the other hand, if I do go close up, then I am seen. I am heard. I am noticed. Da lifnei means that I am standing before, lifnei meaning before God. I'm not in the back. I'm not under the chair. I'm not on the side. I'm right in front. So while it may make me feel vulnerable, I may feel a little scared by it, the reality is I want my prayers to be right in front of you, God. I want you to hear them. I want you to hear my praise and my requests. So when we're standing before God, it's not just standing, it's before him. And if you're going to look at the tefillot as you say them, you will see so many times the word lifnei, yihi ratzon milfanecha, let it be before you. When we say asher yatzar after going to the washroom, yihi efshar lihitkayem v'la'amod lifanecha, it's impossible for me to stand and exist before you. Do we need that word? Yes, because it allows us to experience that knowledge of being Hashem being in front of us here in a whole different way. Da lifnei, me, before whom? Now, there are a lot of different chazals and different quotes that are used, which talks about God with a specific name to help us relate to him. Shiviti Hashem, Yodke Vavke, Linekti Tamid. In this da lifnei mi ato, may know before whom you're standing, maybe it has to do a little bit with the idea of saying that tefillah is very personal. Knowing before that you're standing before God, your relationship with him is different and changes every day, every moment, and is different than the others around you. So you could be saying, I know that right now I'm standing before God, who's my father, me. Who is he to you? He is my king. He is the creator. He is the one who every single detail in my life is in control and is guiding me. He is the God who I love. Who is the God who right now I'm angry at? Who are you standing before? Again, taking the moment, using mindfulness, which is the stop, think, and feel approach, to develop that connection, that real connection that we're standing before God and building it into tefillah. So da lifnei mi, know before, right? We're right in front, know with a clarity that we're right in front, mi ata, you. You, it's between you and no one else. It's you and God when you're standing there. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. You have your goals. You have your connection that you want to have. And you, in the long run, are going to have to answer to it. So it's da lifnei mi, ata, you, nobody else right now. It's you and God together. You're in front of him. Da lifnei mi, ata, you, omid. So I'm going to ask you now, for those of you who would like, we're going to do a stop, think, feel, stop, think, feel activity, which is, I'm going to ask everyone, if you can, if you'd like to stand up, okay? Okay, what I'm going to ask you to do is to stop. Remove distractions, physical and mental, focus, and think, I am standing before God. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everyone to sit down. And at this point, can everyone see me? Because I lowered my phone, my camera. It's okay. It's good. Okay. Thank you, Ilana. I saw your nod. Nechama, I saw your nod. Thank you. Now I'm going to do the stop, think, and feel activity again. I'm going to ask everyone to stop, to think. I am sitting. I am sitting before God. Okay, now if I could have everyone's attention. Think about the difference, the different feelings, the different type of experience that you had when you were standing before God and now when you're sitting. God is telling us, the Torah tells us, when we are thinking of being in front of Hashem, His presence is here, we need to stand. Standing can mean we stand at attention. It means something different to everyone. And like I said, it will change. It changes every day. We could stand at attention. We stand out of respect. We stand with humbleness. We stand, we feel vulnerable. On the same token, we could stand and give a standing ovation. God is great. I want to stand and sing and praise. But it's not a sitting, relaxed back type of experience. That's not the way to feel God's presence in this context of Dalifnei Mi'ata Omid. So one of the thoughts that is important that helps us have a connection and develop it is to have that awareness and to bring God's presence into your life so that it's real as my hand is. And that's by thinking to yourself, Da, know well, know it. Lifnei, that I'm right before God. Who is he to me? The one who I love, the one who loves me, however me is felt at that moment, I am standing before him. That is something to think about before and during tefillah and throughout the day. We're going to explain it a little bit more. But now we're going to also just share the other thought to have is to focus in, to remove distractions and focus in on the translation of the words you're saying. If you say the words of the Siddur, if you are saying the words in English, whenever it is that you're saying them, you want to understand what you're saying. So we're going to take just quickly the first 12 words of the Moda Ani. We wake up in the morning and we bring perspective to ourselves and to our lives. And at this juncture of our lives, where we are not 20 years old anymore, we may have more time. We have the opportunity to hone in on our skills that are needed to develop and build, continue building a real relationship with God, because we do have more time and we're not as busy with things that we've been in the past. So we can also build our moments and our stage that we're at right now with a stronger, more real, very relevant relationship and connection with Hashem. We need to think of the words. So when we wake up in the morning, Moda Ani, take the extra 15 seconds to think of the translation. Moda, I thank, Ani, I, Lefanecha, before you. I thank before you. Now let's think for a second. Modeh, the essence of a Jew, the root of the word Jew, Yehudi, is the same as Modeh. The essence of who we are, because the reality is that after all is said and done, the only thing that we could end up really doing is praising God, because he's in control of everything. We wake up in that morning with that's how who we are, and that is our perspective on how we will be living our lives today and in the future. Modeh, I thank. Ani means me. God, you are important. I am a somebody. I wake up in the morning and with all the hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of creations and human beings in the world, I am important and want to be heard and listened to by God. I say the Modeh Ani. Moda Ani Lefanecha, before you. Again, we start off our day with, we're not in the back. We're right at the front. God, you're in front of me. Molda ani lefanecha shechazarta, that returned, be in me, my neshama, nishmati. Bechemla, with compassion. And then there's a pause that Shulchan Aruch says to pause between this word and the next word. Rabba emunatecha. There is a tremendous, you have so much trustworthiness. Stop, think, feel, which is bringing us to the third step now. It's not enough to stop and to think. It's not enough to know just the translation of the word, because otherwise these words, moda'ani, is going to be just translation vocabulary words to you. What we need to train ourselves is to stop, think, feel the words, feel, internalize what you're saying. This is part of prayer. It's not just reciting the words. It's not just pointing. It's not just getting through the book. It's feeling, internalizing what we're saying. Because when you feel good about something, you go for it and you do it again. You want to do that thing again. You eat a good piece of steak, you want another piece. You ran that mile and you went through the finish line, even though it was work, you feel good. So you're going to try to do another race, another mile, another marathon. Feeling prompts one into action. Let's go back and go over the moda ani. Moda, when we thank Hashem, ani, how do you feel when you say ani? I feel important. I feel acknowledged. I feel needed. And we move on to a few of the other words, because also of time, of the time frame that we're with. We're on Moda ani lefanecha, melech, I have a king. What does that mean to you? Ask yourself. This is a private time tefillah. Nobody knows what thoughts are going through your mind. I have a king. That means I have to answer to somebody. I have a king. I have responsibility. I have a king. I feel protected. Melech chai. My king is alive. He's involved. Every detail of my life has to and comes from him and is watched by him. How do you feel? I feel good. I feel important. I feel loved. I feel secure. Melech chai v'kayam. God exists. He was here before I was born. He'll be here after 120. He's here right now. Again, you could say and feel that in so many different ways. I feel protected. I feel lucky. Melech chai v'kayam shechazarta bi. Do we need that word in me, in the moda ani? When you're thinking it in the morning, it's moda ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam shechazarta. You return my neshama. Do we need that word bi? Bi means in me, in you and nobody else. Your neshama, soul that you have, how do you feel that it's in you and no one else? Do you feel you could conquer the world? Do you feel unique? Do you feel special? Ask yourself. It doesn't take a lot of time. Make your tefillos count. Develop that relationship with Hashem by feeling what you're saying and training yourself. You wake up in the morning, 12 words, give each word an extra 3 seconds. You'll be out of bed in 30 seconds. But your perspective, your identity, your connection, the way you wake up in the morning, you always started going in a specific direction of building and developing your relationship with Hashem. Moda ani, and then you can even say the word neshama. I have a neshama. Well, what does that mean to me? Feel it. We need to feel what we're saying. Do I feel holy? Do I feel I have a tzelem Elohim? So these are the 3 steps, 3 keys to use that will open up the doors to a relationship that you will have nothing like with anyone. It's a relationship with God. To stop, remove distractions, physical and mental, and to focus, like when you drive a car, there's nothing else on your mind except if there's an emergency going on. And you think, know with clarity that you are standing right in front of God and you're standing before him. Think about it. Or think of the translation of the words when you're using the Siddur. And then train yourself to feel. To feel what you're saying, because otherwise, like I said, it's just vocabulary words. Make yourself discover, who am I? How do I feel? And again, it's private. So whatever you're going to be thinking and however, whatever relationship you're going to have between God, and remember it's atah, between Dalaf Nehemi atah, it's between you and him, nobody else. It will be worthwhile. You don't have to contend with anyone or anything. It's just about you discovering yourself and building a relationship with God through the words of tefillah, through connection. So using the stop, think, and feel, if we're praying, we can stop ourselves when our minds are being distracted and pull ourselves back in by saying, let's stop, think, and feel. We also use this stop, think, and feel approach to prepare for tefillah. It's brought down over and over again that if you want to have kavanah in tefillah, prepare. If we go into Shabbos without preparing, the whole experience of Shabbos is completely different. No question in my mind that you can think of times when you were experienced and you weren't, and the response of how you reacted to a certain situation based on if you were prepared for it or not. When you prepare for tefillah, what we need to do, and we learn out from the Sfarim, is that when we are davening, we don't just open a siddur. We need to train ourselves to prepare our mindset that we're standing before God. And there are many different things that are brought down of how to prepare. One of the takeaways that I would love for you to all get from this presentation is that before I pray, formally or informally, I remind myself, I tell myself, I become mindful, I meditate, I think I am standing before God for 15, 10 seconds, or you do something to bring you into that realization. And there are so many different things that are brought down that you could do. You think about God's creations of the world. You meditate. You think about all that you have to be thankful for. You think about what we have is actually, I'm going to just share my screen for a minute. We have a diary for the children, which they use, which you could write and make for yourselves, or you could do it orally. The idea is to shift your mindset so that you are thinking of God and you know to whom you're speaking when you start speaking to him. And it's hard because God is abstract, but you can feel his presence when you, just like when it's hot outside and you need to warm up, you go closer to a heater. And even though you can't see the heat, you feel the heat. When you get and you say and have kavanah and stop, think, and feel, you will feel God's presence as you speak to him. One of the things that you could do that we do to prepare our mind is we have a diary, which the children write for 2 to 3 minutes, sometimes 1 minute, sometimes for 5 minutes, depends on the child. It's a letter to God. But we don't just say, thank you, God, thank you, Hashem, for that, 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 and can I please have? We start off with, I am davening to Hashem, who is. It could be one word, who is great, who is loving, who is in control, who cares about me. But the idea is you could write much more than that. A God who has created the world around me, who has given me my health, God who cares, and everything that's happening in the world he's involved with. It's your call. It's your relationship. But before you start praying, ask yourself, who is God to me? I am davening to him. And then you thank, and you think of all the things that you have to be thankful for. After you thank, you have a special message or request. Well, after you do this, it could take 1 minute, it could take 5 minutes, it could take 10 minutes. It's up to you. But do this orally and ask yourself, this is one way to prepare your mindset so that when you go into the tefillot and you talk to God from your heart, you articulate your speech in such a way that you bring about the reality of connection that is real and relevant and lasting. It's a work in progress, but it is the most wonderful gift and opportunity that we will ever have, having a relationship and connection to God. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for coming. I'd like to articulate with my own words how much I appreciate the opportunity. Again, thank you, Rebbetzin and Judy Steinegg. Thank you everyone for coming and strengthening my own personal avodah shabalev, so that I could really stop, think, and feel and connect to God in my personal, most intimate, special way. If anyone has any questions or anything they'd like to chat, or Rebbetzin, Judy, how would you like to close it?
We're good. First of all, the first thing I want to do is say thank you so much for a beautiful and meaningful presentation. I think we've all gained a lot and will help us in our davening. It was beautiful. Secondly, so a question or a comment came in while you were speaking. Somebody wants to know, when you were talking about standing, what about if somebody is not able to stand? So if you could, you know, comment on that.
Okay, so that is a good question. The idea is to take that concept of standing and the feelings that it brings to a person and apply it to yourself. If you're sitting and at that moment you can stand, say, what would be if I had to stand? And enter those feelings into your heart, and you will develop that connection, feelings that should be, that you want to have when, as if you're standing before God.
Thank you. Okay. Actually, it's the same question. People want to know how they can access the booklet that you were showing. Okay. Is that possible? You could send a PDF and we could include that with the recording.
Okay. So I'll tell you like this. Available? The booklet actually is for sale on our website. My website is Anitefila, AnitefilaH.org. I do want to mention on the same, on the same token, that we offer one of the things that's brought down, like I mentioned before, and it's to think of the greatness of creation. We have online for free, you just have to register your name, 8 or 10 videos on Nifla'ot HaBoreh, the wonders of creation. We talk about a frog, we talk about solar system, and before tefillah, the children will watch one, and it will help bring them into connection to God. It's not just showing a gorgeous rose, but it's saying, look at this magnificent rose and stop, think, feel, to connect it. You're welcome to enjoy them. And also it's going to be expiring at the end of June, but there are 8 phenomenal animated videos on the Amidah, on Shmona Esrei. Each one is about 5 minutes and it will take you in. The first two are introductions where it will describe and talk about God and stop, think, and feel in a very adorable, engaging way. And then you'll have the first 5 brachot of Shmona Esrei, where we take one specific concept and we try to give a message for that bracha so that it's more meaningful. And I think you'll enjoy it. And you can certainly share it with friends and family. They are remarkable. I'm enjoying them. So please feel free to enjoy them.
So we've had requests. So anybody who wants the name of the website, I'm going to include that with the recording, so you don't have to worry about copying it down now. And I'm not going to put it in the chat now because, again, you're going to lose the chat soon. But it will be with the recording, so everybody can go onto the website themselves and get the information and order and register. Wait, 1 second. Somebody. Okay, and everybody who is watching now or has registered will automatically receives the recording. Okay, somebody has a comment or sometimes one loses concentration without realizing that one's mind has wandered, and one can say a whole lot of tefillah without thinking about the words. What to do about this?
So this is where you give yourself some time to say, what will I do? Plan it out. If you will notice, do I notice, can I try to keep myself focused and try to look for times? I have to notice when I'm not focusing. You have to, with that knowledge and the knowledge of having the tool of to stop, think, and feel, you bring yourself back in. You stop and you think and feel.
Do you have any questions in front of you? Because I don't see anything else here.
Okay, let me see. Okay, the teacher par excellence of Kavana is having a paid professional shaliach tzibor leading services on Shabbat and Yom Tov. This is from Sam Josephson. What can we do to encourage our rabbis to realize that they must have this necessary component to truly have a beit tefillah? Tamar, is there a paid professional shatz in your shul? If not, why not? If so, Yashukayach. First of all, thank you, Sam. I don't know where you are, but thank you for the comments. This is something which we need each other and we need to collaborate together. I have found also, I have from my own experience, the way tefillah was taught to me, the way it was taught in school, the way it's done in shuls, that the essence of what the power of speech, and there's so much more to say about it, and how to remove distractions, and what we really need to do in terms of focus, and what we should think about, and how we should feel, and social emotional awareness, which in today's day and age, really everyone has, like, with the social media and technology, not, I don't know, we squelched all our feelings. We need to talk about it. So anyone here who can express or share these ideas, or have them contact me, schools or shuls, and see what we could do together to make a revolution, because that's really what we're doing right now. So that tefillah is that connection and relationship that there's nothing like it in the world. It brings such security. You're never alone, and it's protection. You feel loved, you feel important. It gives mental health, and it's a gift. It's an opportunity and a privilege. So I appreciate your comments. We need to work on it. And anyone here who has ideas, feel free to contact me of how we could spread the word about to stop, think, and feel tefillah. Okay, if you can't stand, thank you so much. Thank you to Daraba. Thank you. What are you proposing is personal, but the davening shul goes at its own pace. Do you cut back on what tefillot you say to keep up with the shul? So that's also a very good question. I am not a rabbi, so that's first of all, but what I have done really is I do say less, and it's brought down tov ma'at b'kavana. It's better to say less, but with intent and with concentration, than to say a lot without. We don't want to be robotic Jews. We want to be meaningful ones. And as a teacher, and when I give, again, I'm not the last word on it, but I've discussed this with many. You have to ask your rabbi, and sometimes you can follow your gut when it comes to tefillah a little bit. To a certain extent, we do have the structure of tefillah and there are halachot, but I do say less, because that's more. Teach slowly, give the children the opportunity to think, to stop, think, feel, to meditate, to understand what they're saying. So those words are meaningful. And then that brings you into the next thing. It makes you want to say more because it's relevance and it's not just lip service. So, again, I would probably, I do say less when I go to shul, but that's a personal thing.
I don't know that you can answer this one, but I'm just going to put it out there. What recommendations can you share to stop the talking during services?
Okay.
That's the million-dollar question.
That is a million-dollar question. It is difficult. If you role model it, that could help. I will share with you that I would say about 25 years ago, I live in Far Rockaway. When I moved to Far Rockaway, I went to shul and the rabbi was giving a speech. It was before Yom Kippur, and he was giving his Shabbat Shuva speech. And he got up and he spoke about Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman, that before he was killed al Kiddush Hashem by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, he was approached and he was asked why. If you look around at the Jewish world, many of the Sephardim don't seem to be being killed the way all the Ashkenazic Jews in Europe are. Seems to be the Zegzerah that they have to be killed. And he answered and he said that they do not talk in shul when they daven. They don't talk in shul. And on a personal level, I stopped talking in shul at that point in my life. It's a protection. And what happens now is whenever I go to shul, if it's with my family, if it's with my children, my grandchildren, besides that, when I go into the shul, I say to my grandchildren, when we go into shul, we don't talk. If you need to say anything, tap me on the shoulder. Let's go outside and I'll talk to you there. They all know Mrs. Nussbaum doesn't talk. Don't talk to her. She doesn't talk in shul. So it does get the message across, but you can't really control people. You can't control people. Hopefully they see a sensitivity. You could speak to your rabbi and that will start a process that will keep people quieter. Okay. Let's see. What personally for you helps you connect to Hashem when you don't want to talk to Hashem today? You're going through a hardship or any other reason. So what personally for you helps you connect to Hashem when you don't want to talk to Hashem today? I sometimes wait a little. I do. I have to do it gently. I have to do it slowly. I'm human. And then usually I think things through more clearly and say, okay, I'm ready to talk. A child that learns to daven with kavana will never be able to be a shaliach tzibur in shul because it's obvious that most do not say their prayers with kavana. So David, that's an interesting comment. More, there are such synagogues that they are makbid. They are known for being quiet during the prayer service. Not that many, but hopefully there'll be many more. It's a tremendous protection, from bad decrees. And just in general, it brings a sensitivity to God's presence. So anyone who can go to a shul or have their shul have a new rule about not speaking, it would be tremendous. But there are some that do. Okay.
I think I haven't seen anything more. I want to thank Mrs. Nussbaum so much for sharing what a beautiful presentation, which I think will be so meaningful to us going forward. And as of course, as I said before, everyone will see the recording of this later on today so that you can watch it again or watch it for the first time. Okay, next week, and you'll be hearing about this later with your recording and of course other emails. Next week, we have another presentation from our medical professional, and it's about the shingles infection, unfortunately, that so many have encountered, and how we can prevent getting shingles. So that will be next week on June 21st. And as I said, you'll be getting the information later on. Thank you everyone for joining us. Have a wonderful day. Be safe, be healthy, and we'll see you next week. Take care.